So let me introduce John. He's got a PowerPoint and whatever, and I told him that this is a casual group, and sometimes if you want to, you can acknowledge a hand. And so take it away, John. And I told him at 10 o'clock, they trip him out. So that one now works?
Field, thank you. And then Mr. McMath, wherever he's at, my moody teacher for Old Testament. He's such an unexcited teacher, you know. I'm telling you what, no. So I just to see how it takes a village to raise a kid, and thank you guys, personally. This is a blessing to us. Today we're going to share a little bit more about just the specifics of our, kind of a day in the life for us in Tanzania. So Osmar will share on that, and we're so thankful to be here. Yes, he wants to. I get my green baby, so you cannot pinch me.
All right, good morning, everyone. Okay, perfect. First of all, I want to thank you all for your love and support over the last years. I can honestly say that your church has been one of the most intentional and loving churches during our time overseas. So thank you to the Missions Committee and everybody else who has been very conscious of the needs of missionaries and the need for the local church to be behind the missionaries. Yeah, that's our family. We serve in Tanzania, in case you don't know where that's at. It's on the east coast of Africa, by the Indian Ocean, right by the equator. So that's where we have made our home for the last 2 years. And like it was mentioned, we had to leave last November due to permit issues, along with many other missionaries. So keep praying, because every week we hear of other people leaving the country. We are hoping to go back in May, praying that the Lord will open some doors. It's not all squared away yet, but anything's possible with the Lord. So May is the plan so far. So it's a little cut off, but we'll just go with it. We want to present to you a little bit about just life in Africa, because some brave people have asked us, and I think many wonder, what do you do all day? What do you do all day in Africa? What do missionaries do? So we want to give you some glimpses, and at the end, we want to leave lots of time for questions. So if you have a question, either just shoot up your hand or keep it in there till the end. Either way works. So what do you do all day in Tanzania? That's what I want to answer for you today, just get you a glimpse of life in Africa. Because you know what, missionaries, there's a lot of misconceptions about what they do. It's kind of a nebulous job description. There's so many forms it can take. So it's like, what do you do? So I found this very amusing. I'm a missionary. What my friends think I do. It's the Indiana Jones picture, if you can't read from the back. What my mom thinks I do. It's a guy sitting around with lots of religious people. What society thinks I do. Hang out at the beach while other people give me money. What my supporters think I do. Okay, the fiery angel with the gospel. What I think I do, that's the guy in the mud. It's very accurate most days, trudging through the mud. And what I really do, and that's the picture with the hands. And I love that picture because really the bottom line is building relationships. And I hope you see that as we go through our day, that when it comes down to it, we want to build relationships so that we can share the gospel. So before going into the daily life activities, I want to give you a sense of place. Because, you know, some missionaries live in the mountains of Mexico, like the husbands. Some live in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. Our setting is a little different because right now we are in a big city of 4+ million people in Dar es Salaam. So when you think, okay, Indians in Africa, you're not going to see a mud hut in the jungle. So I want to give you show you this video, just without sound. This is the road that you would drive on if you go from the city center to our little area, which is called Goba. Let's see if it plays. If not, that's okay. There you go. So you see little stores, you see people, you see motorcycles and cars, you see a paved road, which is fairly new there. That's a little taxi driving by, a little three-wheel taxi. So we're outside the city. We're in an area called Goba. We're the only white people there. But again, it is close to a huge city. So it is not uncommon to have tourists and other missionaries there, but not in this area. You turn on that dirt road, this is our neighborhood, the people we want to build those relationships with. Those twins right there, Eric and Erica, they often end up playing in our yard. That's the house of Mama Rachel. She's a good friend of mine, one who I have strived to build a relationship with over the years. That's our dirt road. You do see lots of garbage. You do see unfinished homes, as when the money runs out, the building stops. Most people do live in like a one-room cement building like you see. I want you to notice that house with no roof and the empty windows. And then that's our gate. So that one house I pointed out with no roof, that's a family, a Muslim family, mom, dad, and two kids. And their five-year-old boy, his name's Asumani, when we arrived, we noticed he didn't speak, he didn't seem to hear anything. And talking to the mom, he had never received any services. The mom tried to get him tested because she noticed around 2 years of age, he's not talking, he's not responding. But because they couldn't pay the bribe to the doctor, they never got a diagnosis. So he was 4 or 5 when we got there and not communicating at all with anybody. So that's the community we live in. And thankfully, now he's been tested. He's completely deaf. But now he attends a Christian kindergarten for the deaf, which is in town. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. So he's learning for the first time to communicate with the outside world. And he's learning not just to sign language, but also hearing the Christian message. So praise God. That's our gate. So when you drive into that gate, you see our home. That's our home. Cool story about the home. We work with Ethnos 360, and how they work is once you arrive in country, once you're settled in, you are assigned a host church. So let's say we come from a different country, and Peaceful Valley is our host church. Within that church, a host family is asked to help us along. So let's say the Zenards are host family, okay? So they volunteer to help us learn language, learn culture, get used to things, answer questions, because many things are just so different. So we were assigned this host church and assigned this host family. And what our team then does is look for a home. So let's say the Zenards is close to them so we can build that relationship, right? If you're far away, that's very hard to do. So our team there started looking for homes for us in this area called Goba, and couldn't find anything. And then this house opened up. And not only was it the perfect size with an extra schoolroom for homeschooling, which I was very excited about, but also it was right next to our host family. Not just close, kind of 10 minutes by bus, but right next to them. We share a fence. So the Lord really provided this home. Another God thing about this home is that John and I have always had a heart for orphans. We've been involved with orphan ministry and have always wanted to adopt one day. And one day, God just prayed. God. John.
I'm not God. I am not God.
John prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, I know we're here as church planters, but it'd be really cool if we could be involved with orphans still. And guess what? Our host family runs an orphanage. So we live right next to an orphanage. So the Lord knows, and the Lord provides for all things. This is another video, if you could play that. I just went behind our house and did a sweep through our backyard. Okay, so you see the buildings across the orphanage and the host family. You see that path there? That wasn't there when we moved in. That tells you something. Neither was the huge hole in the fence that is now there, but that was for my 9 months pregnant self, so I wouldn't have to go down the hill and up the hill in 100 degrees. So I was thankful for that big hole. I'm sure you're the bathroom. We have an inside bathroom. Yes, yeah. So we do have two bathrooms in one street.
So one the is, water. We don't have city water. We have to bring our water in. We have a sewer, and then we collect rainwater. But that we can flush our toilets. If it's
yeah,
not
we have flushing toilets.
Dry season.
Yes, dry season. We sometimes run out of water. It's from the city, about 1/2 hour. But it's not very reliable. You know, sometimes they say they'll come this afternoon, and then they show up 2 days later. So it's good to be on top of things and, like, have reserve water. We've learned that the hard way. Yes, any other questions with the video? Oh, yeah, for
Abigail. Is it possible to drill a well there, or is there still water?
Yeah, the orphanage actually, they had a well drilled. Yeah, during dry season, it dries up. But during rainy season, it's a very useful thing. Okay. So, yeah, I'm sure your backyard looks a little different. So that's home for us. So you have a picture in mind. So my daily life really looks not a whole lot different in the mornings than it would here. So I homeschool our boys in the mornings. And the young lady you see on the other pictures, her name is Dorcas, and she's about 20 years old. And she's thinking about these relationships. She has been one of our closest relationships. And the Lord knows it's hard to go out and visit your neighbors every day and talk in a language you don't really understand. So he brought a relationship right into our home. That's how he did it. The little rooms you saw next to our house in the video, that's where she lives. She needed a place to stay. And she also helps us around the house. She has really bonded with Matteo. She just straps him on her back and goes shopping with him and sweeps the floor. She teaches the boys Swahili. They've really gotten a lot of exposure from her because she does not speak any English. And just helps with, like, laundry because it's all hand washed, and cleaning, whatever we need her to do. So she's a big helper in our family, has really become a part of our family. And that's a relationship that's right in our home. Every day. So we're thankful for her. And she's taking care of our home during this time as well while we're gone.
Is she a believer?
She is a believer, yes.
What have they got on the kids'
heads? Oh, they just put stickers on all of us. So they took a picture. Smiley face stickers. Okay, I'll let John share about his day.
So just top left, that's some of our missionary team, and then the lady and the gentleman right there are pastors that they live close to an unreached people group. So we have a relationship with that middle guy. He's a deacon in the church we go to. We're visiting this family, this pastor family, and talking about this tribe close to him. And we're asking, what do you guys know about it? What's the church impact? We do these intense interviews so we understand where is the most unreached tribe in Tanzania. You can see on that far right, that was one trip to go to a tribe. It's harder. It's more difficult. That's where the waters come in. You can go in, you know, during the rainy season. It's very difficult. And in the middle, that's Jose and me, and he is one of the guys that's helped me learn Swahili. And each of us, we get a language helper, and it lasts for a while, and then you move up a level, and you want to find different people to interview, because a 7-year-old man from the United States will speak differently than a 20-year-old girl, right? So that's the same thing. I'm not meeting with 20-year-old girls, but my point being is that it's important that we learn the language and get different, see how people speak the language. On the streets, in the college classrooms, we want to be able to be fluent at that level.
Got my helper here. So John's day, he goes to the office almost every day or meets with pastors. One of our goals is mobilizing the local church there. You'll hear more about that in the sermon. But we need each other, and we need the African church to go out and reach their own people along with us. Okay, our afternoons look like this. Usually it's a lot of time outside for the boys. And you saw the wall around our home. Well, it's you know, supposed to be a protection, but 5-year-olds can climb it, so I don't know how much of a protection it is. So we have lots of neighbor kids in our yard each afternoon, and we had to learn to put boundaries there because it was getting too much and too chaotic and too stressful. But I think we found a good system of putting boundaries there while still welcoming the neighborhood children. It's a good reminder to us to look at these pictures and see our boys' smiles and think back that, you know what, behind those smiles is a long road that they had to walk as well, building those relationships. Because it's not just us wanting to make our home there, but also our children. And as adaptable as children are, it doesn't always come naturally. They used to go outside and had a group of like 15 little kids following them, touching their hair, pinching their skin, right? Yeah, wanting to carry them around because they were such a novelty. And our boys didn't want to go outside and play with the neighbor kids. And I can't blame them because that was exhausting for them as well. So seeing that and seeing now after a year and a half in this location, they actually want to go and play. They ask for their friends to come over. Now they say, I miss Wille and Danny, their best friends over there. So that's a huge step for them and us as a family. One step of many, I'm sure, but we praise God for those kinds of steps. Them putting their roots down and them building those relationships as well. Okay, this is a video, just a fun little video. These are mostly kids from the orphanage. And see if you recognize the song. So they sang, I'm Joe and I work in a button factory. They started singing that. I'm like, how do you know that song? I still don't know how they learned that song. But they started singing all these English random children's songs. So, kids, that's our living room. They love John, who they call Baba Judah, because there you're known by your firstborn's name. So like Josh would be Baba Timothy, Timmy. Okay, so we are Mama and Baba Judah, because he's our oldest. And yes, the kids love Baba Judah, and they... When he comes home from work, they chant his name and run after the car.
It's really good for my pride.
You can tell who's the fun one, you know, and who's the strict one with the neighbor kids. Okay, I'll have John share a little bit about our host family.
So the far right is my host brother. His name is DeBogo. He is an elder in the church that we go to. And his wife is down below holding Matayo. And that is Osmar's host sister. So host families, it's usually like a family with two or three kids. But we have an orphanage, so that's our host family. And that's a good representative of our lives. It's just a bit crazy. But, you know, it's good. It's pushed us. It's God's work in our life. And we are so thankful for them. Just an idea. During the week, I remember one week I had like 10 questions that came up to me. That I was like, I just had no idea what was happening with people around me. And I took it to DeBogo and I said, brother, I got questions. And we sat down and almost everything he said was different than what I thought I was seeing. Just talk about our worldview of how different we see life. And it was very, very good. But you can see the struggle with missionaries when you see something and you think, that's not good. And it might not be good, but they're not seeing it the same way you're seeing it. It's very powerful. So very important. I'm so thankful. We have a host family to help us.
We've got an orphanage there. Are there a lot of street kids in the city then?
It's a good question. Not so much in the city. The villages is where you see a lot more street kids. But it's also difficult because there's lots of kids unsupervised, where they have a mom, but they're off from work. And our neighbor kids, she's fallen in the fire twice and had burns. So, you know, they might have a parent. A lot of times, and I don't want to make generalities. There's just a lot of kids that aren't being watched well in where we're at. So.
What's the source of income there? You've got a 4 million population.
Well,
where do people work?
Where do they work? Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of little shops of selling fruits and vegetables. So there's a lot of farmers. And then, geez, what else do they?
What's the thing? Yeah, so agriculture is the main source of income for most people. But yeah, in the city, it's a little different. Most people do a small business or they consider like a job where you actually have a contract and set working hours as very prestigious. But that's more rare. So like our house worker, it's kind of a day-by-day basis. So she doesn't really know, am I going to have a job tomorrow? You know, with us, yes. But regularly, it's a very unstable job situation. No, agriculture is the main thing. No, no buttons from Tanzania. Yeah.
Yeah. And those jobs get soaked up by those who have the college degree. Mm-hmm. So for them to see me do manual labor, they're like, what are you doing? You should have me. One day I had some propane that I wanted to grab. I was going to show them, I can do this. I'll grab the big propane. And later, this guy said, you could have paid somebody to do what you were doing. It looks selfish in his eyes. Again, something I'm thinking, I'm looking like the good American trying to be. And there is a place for getting your hands dirty. But it was an eye-opener. They were looking at that as being selfish instead of hardworking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And just an example for the worldview. What would you say, what makes in America, what makes a good or like well-behaved child? Let's shout out some words.
So quiet.
Quiet.
Obedient.
Respectful.
Obedient.
Okay. Doesn't talk back. Okay. Would any of you say greet their elders respectfully with the right handshake and word? It's like, yeah, we appreciate it. But our host brother actually wrote a parenting booklet and with like his top five things that would make a good child or like a well-behaved child. And the number one thing was greeting the elders respectfully. So we had to train our boys to shake hands, to shake shikamo, which is I hold your feet, which you say to older people, and respond correctly because that's very important in their culture. We wouldn't think twice about it, you know, but just a worldview thing that really affects all areas of life. So it's supposed to say, why build relationships? So you get the idea of relationship building is... it's hard and messy, even here, you know, you all have relationships. And it takes time and effort, and you can get hurt, and it can get messy, because we're all human beings. There, it's the same thing, we're still human beings, but imagine a huge wall between us as wanting to build a relationship, okay? Because that wall is all the linguistic and cultural and worldview things that are between us that I don't understand, and they don't understand us. So we have to start climbing that wall to even be able to start reaching out that hand and build a relationship. So it's hard work, and that picture reminded me of relationship building because it's like chaotic, a little crazy, and a little dangerous. You could get hurt, like don't fall off, but it's so worth it. And in our leadership always stresses, you know, all our practices and programs are built on the character of God. So if we can't look at our program and ground it in the character of God, we should question it. So the whole relationship building, that's huge focus in Ethnos and in Tanzania, is, well, our God is relational. He's, you know, triune in nature, relational, and he sent his son so we can have a relation with him. So we do the hard work of building relationships because our God is a relational God. So, question time. Anything that we talked about or something completely different?
What exactly is the holdup on the visas, for example, is the government not like, okay, you want missionaries in there, and when you do get to go back into your home and host family is still going to be there, or you have to go through that process again?
Yes.
The visa situation is the deacon that I mentioned before, he put it in a very good way. He said that president is either wanting to kick out foreigners or he's wanting to bring integrity into his country. Because past leadership, there was things not following the laws. In my opinion, it looks like he's wanting to bring integrity to his country. So that's why I'm hopeful to be able to register in a way that looks great in the government's eye. There's a mission agency that looks really good in the mission agency's eyes, and they're wanting us to partner to help them as well. So I'm optimistic. But if it is the other, you know, we'll see that wall will come.
And yeah, we have our house and host family still there, so they'll be still there when we get back. We communicate by WhatsApp mainly. So yeah.
WhatsApp.
Skype, yeah, Skype. The internet isn't good enough there for video calls, but voice messages work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and if you have any questions for the children, too, they'd be happy to answer some questions.
What is village like, and is it an issue with intestinal parasites near the river?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know that specific question. But is when you get to the village, things get more difficult, so... the villages I visited, it's a whole new level of poverty, you know. And so to try to convince the church in Tanzania to go to these places, it's a huge step backwards for them. And they say a lot of times, well, that was your job. you came here and you go there, so it's a lot of education. I'm going off a little bit from your question, so I do that as a preacher sometimes. Sorry. So your question, I don't know about the parasites, but I know it's probably...
Can you drink the water?
No. So yeah, as parasites is a big issue, mainly from dirty water. So we filter all our water. But yeah, but the neighborhood kids will just drink it out of the faucet. Yeah.
So if they had more access to water, that would change the whole society there?
It's not just the water, because I'll say there's a lot of wells. A lot of people come digging wells. It's the education piece to keep the wells running. You'll come and you'll see wells, a lot of wells, that are broken down. And you're asking these people to maintain them. To buy a screw is like a day's worth of their earnings, you know? So you're saying, just get the tools out. It's not like that. So that's a big piece the Western Church needs to realize, that we can do a lot of good, but the education piece and walking with them, the training, has to be there.
And also understanding it from their worldview. I think a lot of problems with short-term missions or like specific well-building, house-building missions is we come from it from our worldview, which I'm, yes, we go and build a well and leave, that's great. But using the people there to guide us, so like our church has asked, how can we come and help? Like, well, we'll ask our church leadership there and we'll ask our host family, because maybe, you know, well issue could be an issue of property rights, okay? Who does the well belong to? So whose responsibility is it to fix it? Is the community, is it a community well? Is it a church well? Is it an individual well? So all these things that could cause this well to either not be used or cause huge fights, we don't think about. But so it's really important with any project to go through the local people and see how, what would be most helpful. It's usually not what we would think as Westerners. So it gets really tricky.
It's tricky. Yes.
What, as far as the local church is concerned,
yeah.
What like creeped in to like undermine the gospel? Anyway? Is there anything that's like prosperity gospel?
Yeah.
Because they're poor?
Yeah. It's, you hit it. Prosperity gospel. This idea that God is there to bless you and give you more and more and more. And then you think of us coming as millionaires there, and then we're trying to preach against that. You see, so that a big part of us is to try to live and to show them, you have these rich people from these nations, you know, they can buy the plane ticket, and that are getting there and then going to these tribes and living there. I'd also say, a lot of times we're seeing there's a lot of Bible translations for these churches and these tribes. But a lot of times those translations might be done outside the tribe, and the language doesn't match up with the people that are reading it, and they're illiterate. So it has to be hard work. We can't shortcut it. We need people to be living with them. And that's a great thing about these trips. We're taking the Tanzanian church with us and showing them and saying, this is your need. You might even be related to some of these people. Let the gospel hit you there, you know, to show them. So thanks for your question. Yes?
Oh. Is there a predominant faith group there that, you know, like Muslim? If
you just kind of type it up, it'd probably say something like 50% Muslim, 50% Christian. But when you really dig deep and you hear this around the world, is in some of these countries, is that they're really holding on to their ancestral beliefs. So more about the spirits. When things get really hard, they're not turning to the mosque or the church. They're turning to the witch doctors. So that's just a concept we have to see. You can see the outing. It might look a certain way, but that's not usually the case when you dig deeper. And even in the church, we're going to, it's a struggle for them a lot of times to... Osmar was pregnant, and, you know, we did the American thing, we're pregnant, and announced it. And their culture was like, don't say that. Somebody might put a curse on you. And they're still working through these lies that are hard, just like we are of our security and what we need. You know, we have lies too. They just look differently, right? So there's things that we encounter even in the church like that.
Is the intent to stay in this house right here, or is the intent to get out to tribal missions?
Now that we took that role, it's really our role is to be visiting churches once we come to a fluent level of Swahili, and then to actually come underneath the church's leadership, that we'd be part of mobilizing churches from the Tanzanian church to go to these unreached people groups. So our goal as of now, God willing, is to stay in that home for years, unless the Lord changes that. Yep. Yep. Yes.
What's the situation as far as tribalism, civil wars, and like that?
The president in the past did something pretty wise. He made all the tribes from, like, he sent kids down to different regions to study and mixed up the country. So then all of a sudden your classmates are from different tribes. And it really, Tanzania prides himself of being a country of peace. Whereas Kenya, there's strong tribal identity. But in Tanzania, the language, you know, if you come to the cities, they are very proud of Swahili. It's like one of the only African languages that's in existence. You know, Mozambique speaks Portuguese. You know, Liberia is English. You can see it, what's happened from colonialism. But they have Swahili. It's their language. And they're proud of it. Good questions. Yes.
Jonah?
Judah. Oh, good question.
Sorry.
No, it's a
what
good.
Do you like best about Tanzania?
The mic.
Playing outside.
Playing outside.
Thank you.
Was it a big trial to get used to the food?
I like food. All types of food. I knew that was a good, that was a point for missionary life right there. So, and there's foods that I didn't like that now I'm like, I'm craving. So it's, you know, I've heard learn, taste is a learned behavior, and I really believe in that. So you try it enough, you'll like it. Maybe with most things. There might be some things, but yes, the food is good.
It's good. It's simple. Even like sometimes we ask a normal American question, what's your favorite food, right? Doing some, making small talk. That's not even like, they don't think about that because like, this is the three options we have. And what do you mean, what's my favorite food? So it's very simple, not a lot of options, but it's good and nutritious.
A lot of rice.
My question is for Jude.
Jude.
Legs? No, I mean snakes with legs. Iguana? No, chameleon.
Oh, what was it? Mosquitoes. Are you lying? You want to ask me something?
Which one?
So you'll tell you what we found in the neighbor's tree.
A green mamba.
Green mamba. One of the most poisonous snakes in the world. Yes. Yes. So.
Welcome to Tanzania. Come on down.
But if you want to see like the actual, like the African wildlife, you'll have to go to a national park, and we have not done that yet.
But we've had monkeys jumping on a
roof.
On the way to the tribe, I saw warthogs everywhere because there are a lot of Muslim tribes. They don't eat pork. A lot of warthogs. So. That and, yeah.
Scorpions. Millipedes.
Yes.
Could you quickly tell your testimony and how you became a couple?
Oh.
Just do it quick.
Okay, quick. I got 30 seconds. Okay, so senior year of high school, I was a president of international club. Asmara came. She wanted to go to California, but God stopped that and brought her to Spokane. And over a lot of conversations, I took her to Life Center Church on Wednesday nights at that time, and I got in a Bible study with my mom. She, on the way from a service from the Life Center one day, she came to faith in Christ. So 2 months before we left, we started dating. And I remember asking Osmar, like, you know, I want to be a missionary. It's not going to be the white picket fence story. And she's like, you know, there's a lot of unhappy people that have the white picket fence. And I was like, this girl's awesome. She's beautiful. So 3.5 years of long distance dating, we got married after that.
I grew up Catholic, but turned atheistic in my teenage years. So.
What country did you come from?
Germany.
And what nationality are you?
Half Chinese, half German. Yeah.
So she has a German Chinese Swahili accent.
Thank you, I think.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Yes. Give
them
a hand.
Yeah, thank you.
If this is still working, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the insights that we've seen, what it's like to be on the ground in the mission field. We pray you bless this family, this conference, our time together, and the worship that we will experience in the next hour. Pray that you bless our time and these people, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed with some coffee, cookies, whatever.